So on Skype from Prague, we have Marek Stis, who recently came from Bangladesh. Marek, thank you so much for accepting our interview.
You're most welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Can you please tell us what is the situation in Bangladesh now?
Well, the camps are horribly overcrowded and people keep on coming from the Myanmar side. The week when I was there, there was another wave of violence at the border when the Burmese army started shooting to the air, and some say even against the people who are squatting against the border. So in one day, about 8,000 people crossed, and we have daily about 200, 300 crossings. So it seems like the whole Rohingya population is steadily moving out of Myanmar into Bangladeshi camps. The situation, the camps, and the state of the camp infrastructure is really terrible. The density of people is incredible. Large swaths of the camps are not accessible from the main roads. So it's creating a lot of issues with the sanitation, with the access to distributions and to aid. Plus the quality of shelters is truly, truly horrible. These are just makeup shift houses done from bamboos and plastic. And we are just nearing the beginning of the monsoon season, which will definitely bring another level of the disaster into the situation.
How many people are, or can we estimate how many people actually are in the camps now?
Yes, we have quite a precise figures because IOM and UNHCR are tracking the arrivals very well. There are about 700,000 of the new arrivals since last year, August or September. Plus, you have to calculate around 250,000 Rohingyas who have been living in the refugee camps already for a few years. So in total, we are speaking about a population of roughly 1 million people.
That's like crazy amount of people. There are also people who didn't make it to the camps. Is that correct?
Well, most of the people have been received at the reception centers at the border by the Bangladeshi government and UN agencies, non-government organizations, national organizations, Bangladeshi one or international ones. They have received the basic assistance because people have been running for days without any belongings because people literally fled for their lives. Very often they came dehydrated, a lot of people sick, particularly for the women, for the pregnant women, for the elderly people. A lot of people face an extreme violence, shooting, they lost the family members, kids have been witnessing the violence. There has been an extreme level of rape and sexual violence. So a lot of girls and women have been subjected to this. So people at the border just received the basic assistance. They were welcomed into Bangladesh, and we have to praise the attitude of the Bangladeshi government, how welcoming they have been up to now. And they have been told to settle down in the areas which were allocated, which now create these, as we call it, the mega camps, like Kutupalong, which is hosting about 400,000 people. So that's where the people went. But of course, not all of them wanted to become these, as we say, the professional refugees, because it's very difficult to get out of the camps once you are in. So a lot of them found a shelter with the local villages, in the local houses. You see here and then a smaller settlements, few hundred families, 1,000, 2,000 families, which are living near a local community, local village. So there has been a lot of assistance and really open attitude from the Bangladeshi villagers. But the majority of the people are still living in these big camps. And obviously, as the Bangladeshi government is trying to take control of the situation, they are steadily trying to move people from these informal settlements into the big camps when they have a better control over the refugee population.
You mentioned it before, but what actually are the reactions of the local people? Are they already being affected by such a huge and fast influx of refugees?
Well, obviously, as I said, the first thing is a praise to the Bangladeshi government and the local communities, how they welcome the people and allow them to settle down. But of course, the Bangladesh is extremely densely populated country. You have 1 million people extra squeezed in few districts, which are already overpopulated. So it's creating a lot of frictions, as always, between the refugee or displaced population and the local, as we say, host communities. There are few issues. The first one, I think, is the environmental impact of this huge amount of people and the deforestation, which is affecting the whole districts where the refugees are settling down. Because obviously, all the people are cutting down the woods, collecting the firewood. When they started building the camps, the the upper layer of the soil disappeared. So the deforestation is an issue and the whole environmental degradation of the area. The second thing is hostage labor market, because all the refugees from the camps are trying to look for some sort of livelihoods, for income generation. So they are competing with the local population. Thirdly, the whole education system have been affected, because a lot of schools are full of refugees. It's difficult to move them out. A lot of teachers or students found their jobs with the international agencies assisting to the refugees. So all these things, and not mentioning health issues, as the refugees brought with them some diseases as diphtheria, which had been eradicated in Bangladesh already years ago. Plus, there are obviously security concerns, which are always the case in such an influx. You have a lot of unemployed youth, so the fears of radicalization are obviously in place. So there are a lot of frictions. And when we are providing any sort of an assistance, we always have to look at the displaced population, but also at the host population, to try to promote this peaceful cohabitation and try to minimize these frictions, which are appearing by default.
Is it actually dangerous there now?
Not really. You can easily access the camps when you have right papers and visas done. People are very welcoming and very grateful for any sort of assistance. And so far, there have been any significant incidents. But of course, you never know how the situation might develop. And in other parts of the world, we have seen in such a situation a rise in the criminality. Of course, there's a huge level of the violence among the displaced population, which is being exacerbated by the density of the people. So there are reports of a lot of domestic violence, sexual violence, human trafficking, which is obviously dangerous for the people who are displaced. But for the humanitarian workers, I would say that the area is pretty safe. But main thing is really, as you're asking about the security, that people found the peace and the security in Bangladesh, which is the most significant thing of all.
And how is the health situation there? Are there outbreaks of diseases?
Not yet, really. Obviously, there are fears of outbreaks of the waterborne diseases, of cholera, which might be in the camps. The sanitation is truly horrible. The latrines are often built up on the steep slopes, so the all waste is going down in between the houses into the irrigation ditches. And because of the sheer lack of space, it's really difficult to improve the situation significantly. The lack of the water points, organizations have been drilling wells or digging the shallow wells, so the access to water is becoming an issue. But everybody is afraid really about the monsoon season, which is upcoming, as I said, and then the sanitation and the outbreaks will become a really big issue. So there is a strong focus now on building up new health centers to have the emergency teams ready for any outbreak situation. The overall hygienic situation is really, really poor. People, as I said, came with a lot of diseases. So obviously, it's always an issue in such a situation.
What is the situation of people who stayed in Myanmar?
Hard to say. I don't think I'm really qualified to comment, as I have not been visiting the areas and I know the situation just from the news or from our own teams which work on the Myanmar side. The access to the Rohingyas villages is extremely difficult. I would say rather impossible at the moment. And as I was mentioning at the beginning, the feeling is that the Rohingyas are steadily moving out in their hundreds or small thousands into Bangladesh. And there's one important issue linked to this, which is about the return of the Rohingya refugees back to Myanmar. It has been widely discussed. Bangladeshi government policy has always been to return the Rohingyas as quickly as feasible, but of course on the basis that it will be a voluntary return and the people will not be subjected of any violence on the Myanmar side. But it does not seem that this situation would be coming anyhow soon, because the violence continues. The situation, which some people call ethnic cleansings in Myanmar, some including UN call it genocide. So it's really unlikely that the Rohingyas would be coming back to Myanmar anyhow soon. So the Bangladeshi government and the whole aid community is currently looking into the midterm or long-term solution on how to take care of the Rohingyas inside Bangladesh.
You were there, you spoke to the people. What do you think should happen now? What would be the best solution?
Obviously, the solution is in the hands of Bangladeshi government. There are some attempts or some projects which are ongoing to resettle the Rohingya population from the areas near the border to the inland outside the Bangladesh. It's not really clear. We don't see any clear policy guidance at the moment on how this will be done. But the most important thing at the moment is to guide the whole displaced population through the monsoon season without losses of lives, without the outbreaks. And of course, during the monsoon, there there's a threat of cyclones coming in, which would be bringing a significant disaster into the whole country. And my estimation is that at the end of the year, Bangladeshi government has to come up with some serious planning on how to host the Rohingya population in the coming years. There is some memorandum of understanding between Bangladeshi and Myanmar government about the resettlement, which might be possibly starting at the end of the year. But when you speak to the people, nobody is anyhow optimistic that they'd like to start returning back to Burma.
Do you think there's enough help, enough humanitarian aid for these people?
I guess there is at the moment. Of course, one can argue that there's never enough help as the conditions in the camps are truly appalling, but there is a lot of organizations assisting. There is a lot of assistance, and I guess also the financial assistance is in the pipeline, but it's really difficult to deliver. Because as I was mentioning, the topography of the camps is difficult. When you want to reach from the main trunk roads into the outer parts of the camps, you might be trekking a few hours and few kilometers to get there. So the logistics and accessibility of the area is extremely difficult. Infrastructure in the camps is poor, and constructing the shelters or improving sanitation in this extremely condensed environment is really difficult. So I guess there is enough aid, but it's slowly coming to the people, and the pace of the delivery of the aid should be much higher. Much faster.
Thank you very much for the news and the updates from Bangladesh on the Rohingya refugee crisis. We hope that the situation will improve. Do you see some improvement coming anytime soon?
I think over the summer, over the monsoon period, over the cyclone period, the people in the camps will be in a sort of survival mode, trying to go through it. And the real improvement in their lives might be coming after the monsoon season, when the situation also with the resettlement, whether they will be allowed to stay where they are, whether they will be allocated other places, whether there will be other, let's say, midterm solutions for the people, this remains to be seen at the end of the year. At this moment, it's really the stabilization phase and the preparedness for the monsoons.
Thank you so much. So this was Marek Štys, Head of Emergency Program Relief and Development Department, People in Need. Thank you so much for your information.
Thank you so much for inviting me.